it's Canzano. Thanks for making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe and leave us some feedback. Also, the podcast is brought to you by Multnomah Medical Clinic, dedicated to providing breakthrough, non-invasive, drug-free solutions to ED problems. Call Multnomah Medical Clinic at 503-899-4199 or visit them online at multnomahmedical.com.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast,
a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I am fired up right now. I want to talk about hard work, the habits of successful people. Are people who are successful lucky? No. They work hard. They probably work smart, too. Mario Cristobal joining us, Oregon Ducks football coach. Let's talk about the habits of successful people. What would you tell your players? What are those habits?
Habits? Well, they make up what you are. You become a product of your habits. And path of least resistance just does not work. You got to attack every opportunity that comes your way, and then you've got to create them. Just get there before anybody else. Work harder and stay there longer than anybody else, and you'll be all right.
When you look back at your career as, you know, maybe transitioning from a player into a young coach, are you working harder now, harder than the same? Are you working smarter now? What has changed in your trajectory?
Oh, I don't know. I really don't know. I know that, we get after it. We do. And we always try to become as efficient as we possibly can. I just think when you become efficient, you create the black hole, right? There's more room to do more stuff. So you find yourself just continuing to push the envelope. But there are no complaints and no excuses. And it's an awesome situation. And when you're surrounded by this caliber of people and professional, it just, there's a lot of learning and growing going on. So it's awesome. It's a blast.
The sound of pads hitting pads. Is that music to you now?
It's the best. But it'd be a, what was that movie again? Apocalypse Now. Smells like victory, right? You know, on the beach. It's a great feeling. It's a great sound. Just watching, I guess, best way to put it is watching the growth and development of a culture that's committed to physicality, toughness, hard work, doing things the right way. It is awesome watching that take another step and knowing that we still have miles to go. So, awesome.
Where's your offensive line right now? How many guys do you have that you think you could play today? Where does the growth need to come?
I think we're at between 7 and 8. The growth needs to come with consistency, and I think it's good to have them working against the type of front that we have. I mean, we could roll in 8, 9, 10 guys on defense that can create some issues now. These guys are disruptive penetrators. They certainly play with great pad level. They use their hands really well, and they're a challenge every single day. But I think the way that these guys are coming along up front, they're versatile, okay, so going to be able to move them around and do some things. God forbid any injuries should occur. There's flexibility along with that versatility that we can make things not only work, we can make it an excellent offensive line. So fired up about these guys.
When you see a young prospect come in and you're trying to decide where does he fit, do you have an idea in your head, he's a guard, he's a tackle, I can swing him around on the offensive line? Do you like that versatility in a player, or do you want a guy first to get in and specialize and master one position before you start moving him around?
A little bit of both. You want a complete just, you know, Pene type at left tackle all the time. Those are easy to come by, right? So you always want one of those. You want your guys inside where they're versatile enough where they could play at the very worst center and guard, and in a pinch, play a right tackle for you. And you always got to have your Swiss Army knife like a Throckmorton, you know, like Alex Forsythe, the guy that could just jump in anywhere and not allow you to skip a beat. So those guys are invaluable because things happen, right? Things happen to the game. Helmet pops off, an injury occurs. You know, you got to be ready for that. And those guys make those transitions easy.
Mario Cristobal, Oregon Ducks football coach, is our guest. You've got practices that are going on. I saw a quote from one of your media sessions where you were talking about the offense and the defense, who's ahead, who's behind. What do you like to see at this point? Do you want the offense to be ahead? Do you want the defense to be ahead? Do you want a, you know, sort of a battle back and forth? Where, what do you expect and what do you see?
Well, we told them today after practice as we head into our scrimmage tomorrow is we want to see relentless competitors as that is defined by us, by the Oregon brand, where we play to a standard that's, you know, unreachable, that we strive to be, and it's just different, you know, physicality, effort, toughness, communication, and execution, alignment, assignment, all that stuff. That's what I want to see first and foremost, what we all want to see first and foremost, and I want to see a team that just no matter what the situation, bad play, bad call, a drop ball, sudden change, that just no matter what, they just get better and better as the game goes on, just having that mentality that there's nothing that we cannot overcome. So that being said, you're looking at guys also that know how to practice, which we have to teach guys how to practice, right? You've got some great young players. They want to come in and just want to knock people out. God bless them. I love it. That's why we recruited them. But they also have to know that when we practice and we're not going full tackle, they have to learn how to practice effectively, efficiently, being productive within the systems, and, you know, following the tempo of the day. So a lot of learning, a lot of growing going on. And tomorrow's game one for us. And we made that very clear to our players. Tomorrow has to be game one. We can't wait 3 weeks to get that started. Tomorrow, everything that we do, our special teams are live, our offensive and defensive sessions are live. Every situation will be incorporated. So we're rolling, man.
Mario Cristobal is our guest. How do you feel about your quarterbacks right now?
I feel awesome about both quarterbacks, both those guys. And when I say both, I'm not shying away from the guys that are behind the young guys. Those young guys, especially the last 2 days, you see what great players are going to be. A tremendous amount of growth and development. But both Tyler and Anthony are ahead right now. You know, and they've been, Tyler's been going with the ones for the most part, and Anthony's been going with the twos. And both of them have done a great job of running Coach Moorhead's offense, what he's implemented, some of the stuff we've thrown in there as well, which is new, you know, that we just took from the offseason and our offseason studies. They both have a great presence. They can sling it, but they also understand protection, the running game, how to get into advantage plays. These are really good quarterbacks. We feel great about both of them.
There used to be a day where coaches said, you know, if you don't have a starter, then you don't have a quarterback. But I think, you know, we've all learned now you can play two guys. Is there one you're more comfortable with? Do you like the 1-2 punch? Is it too early to say that?
Well, it's too early to say, but I mean, we're not going to change our tune. You know, right now Tyler's going with the ones because that's how we ended spring and that's what he's earned so far. And Anthony is doing an awesome job and he's in there competing. So we're going to let this thing play out and let those guys compete just like the O-line is competing and the defensive line and the DBs. It shouldn't be different for them. I think when you do that, you know what you're doing. You're messing with the culture. You're not upholding the standards of the culture. When you do that, you screw up an entire organization. So we're going to stick to our guns and we're going to do it the right way.
There, you know, when you first come in, you talk about instilling the culture. Now you've got players who have played for you several years, the culture keepers sort of in the program. Can you name one or two of those guys that you look at that just understand what you want, can help the young guys out?
There's a ton of them. And they're stepping up in a big time way. And we're putting a lot on them. Quite honestly, I mean, we've had some very just directly, brutally honest conversations about, hey, brother, it's time for you to step up and be like the dude that when he puts his foot down and says, this is the way we're doing things, this is the way things are going to go. And there's a number of them. You know, and I mentioned a couple the other day that have stood out so far. And a guy like Nick Pickett going to his senior year who, you know, it's on him now. You know, and we're going to look to guys like him and guys like Jordan Scott, Austin Faliu, you know, guys that haven't been here forever either, like a Mace Funa and a Kayvon Thibodeau. You know, it's their turn too. I look at the way Verone McKinley has grown and some of the things that he just embodies as a leader, and I think it's awesome. Demo, I mean, him to just say, hey, I'm sure you saw the video, but it's about him not going anywhere and that he's staying, has provided just another unbelievable just shot in the arm of youth and energy. And those are just the defensive guys. Offensively, the Johnny Johnsons, the Jalen Reds have really stepped up, and they're demanding a lot out of that group. And Hunter Camp Moyer, Alex Forsythe have really done a great job as well. So There's more guys, but those guys are the ones that come to mind.
The defensive linebackers that you've got physically look like players that we haven't seen before on an Oregon defense. Is it look that way in practice?
They are. They're certainly different. They really are. They're just a special breed of linebacker. They are large humans that run really fast and are extremely explosive. They love contact. They are instinctive. They get downhill in a hurry. And they're being tutored by a guy who I feel is one of the best in the country, in Isaac Slade. So I think that combination lends to a group that's going to develop and develop fast. But you cannot go without mentioning Drew Mathis, who, you know, came in last year, and he learned the system. He was playing some excellent football for us now. So we feel really good about this. Just a bigger, you know, and not that, you know, we were, I thought Troy was awesome. I wish Troy was here right now. But, yeah, we're excited about this bunch. They represent some real deal physicality, and they learned the system. They're great learners. They're learning it really well.
Have you had a chance to see much of Justin Herbert? And what do you think if you're watching him play?
Off the charts. It's exactly like expected. I mean, he's got some he's slinging it around really well. He understands the protections. I mean, he's taken some monster hits, and he pops back up and keeps going. He's done well under pressure. Just, you know, it's nothing that I think everyone around here didn't know. Everyone kept saying it, you know, that this guy, we feel he's the best in the country. And I think as a rookie, he's proven that he's the best in the NFL as a rookie.
Yeah, is there validation there? There were some people who said, "I don't know, is he much of a leader?" And he's out there, and he looks like he came in polished.
Yeah, you know, those people that always. I love those quotes. Like, some people, right? Who are these people? You know, always people need to get an octagon or something, man. You know what I mean? It's like, come on, brother. Who are these people? These voices get in the ring, man. So, but no, Justin's kicking butt, humble as can be. And his brother's doing a great job so far here, too. Patrick, he's going to be a great player here.
The defense under Andy Avalos, you know, like he didn't get that spring, and then the defense was lights out under Avalos in that first season. And I kept thinking, you know, wait till he gets some momentum, wait till he gets some time with guys. What do you think that's going to be worth to the defense to have some continuity now with the coordinator?
It's worth a ton. Because they are so process and oriented and systematic. And now, even though there was a pandemic and you were put on ice for a little bit, the technique and the fundamentals that go along with every position are coached and players, they know them. They know them inside and out. So they've been really just honing in on just polishing their craft. And now combined with the amount of time we've had together for the last 3.5 weeks, I think it is. I forget. You know, we're in the submarine, so I don't have a calendar. You could just see that there's another step. Another step has been taken. Communication has also taken another step. And knowing that they've been studying us for a year. You know, they have a year's worth of tape on us, and that we're going to have to elevate the standard. And Coach Avalos has done a tremendous job with those guys, as well as the entire defensive staff.
Would you like to be picked to win the conference, or would you like the media to go, you know, we're not sure about Oregon?
I just really never, like, looked at that stuff, John. You know, it's like I'm numb to that, and we make sure we have a special way of making sure our players feel numb to that too. the way we practice, the way we get after it, it's just
I'd be happy to come out and say, you know what, I think Oregon's going to be about third place, and you know, if you need that, but I don't think you're recruiting the kind of players that pay attention to that either.
They would have a tough time fitting in, quite honestly. I mean, we're so, besides the process-oriented stuff, just from a mentality and being-driven standpoint, we keep going in that direction. We're taking hard, just very strong steps towards becoming a team that's got to be, you've got to become unbreakable, especially in a year like this. And we're taking a lot of pride. I think guys are enjoying the challenges that we're throwing at them, and on a daily basis, the fact that our ultimate respect for them is that we are holding them to such a high standard, and we are bringing it, brother. I'm talking about we are bringing it at them in every way that we can. That I can't think of a better way to respect someone and help them in life and in football than doing that. So I think they understand that, and it all starts with an understanding.
Coach, I appreciate you giving us time. Wish you well tomorrow, game one. Your takeaway, or, you know, for tomorrow, will you treat it like a game? Will you take them through sort of like, here's what a game experience will be like, or do you treat it more like a practice that has a scrimmage?
It's 100% treated like a game. We'll evaluate it and grade it as a game. We'll do our cut-ups, our tapes, the good, the bad, the ugly. Remember that deal with Clint Eastwood? We actually have a good, bad, ugly cut-up that we review with our guys so that we see it from a positional standpoint, a unit standpoint, but then holistically as from a team standpoint as well. How this thing all comes together, how we can help each other as teammates or hurt each other as teammates and coaches. So it brings it, it just brings it all together and gives them a great idea of why we do the things we do, you know. So, yeah, it'll be game one for us tomorrow.
All right, Coach, I appreciate you making time. Thanks for that.
Appreciate you. Have a great one, man.
There he is, Mario Cristobal. Working hard, working smart, not mutually exclusive. Really good stuff. And look, here's the other thing. There are plenty of people, draft people, who said, I don't know about Justin Herbert, who are now coming out saying, I got it wrong. I'm proud to be wrong. I'm happy to be wrong. I was not one of those people. You can look at my Twitter timeline. I had no concerns about Justin Herbert, no concerns about his leadership, thought he was going to be a good pro. I was betting that Oregon's offensive coordinator from a year ago was sort of the reason why there were even questions. I just think physically, from an NFL standpoint, Justin Herbert physically checks all the boxes. And I think his feet were better. We didn't get a chance to see it really till the Pac-12 championship game last year, but his feet were better than advertised. And so the question came down to, all right, how much of a student of a game is he? How much time will he have to be prepared and get himself immersed in an NFL offense and the playbook? And will Tyrod Taylor buy him enough time where he can get comfortable at least? And those who know Justin Herbert as a student, I don't know him as a student, but I know his GPA, you know, in pre-med, a 4.0, that's a legit 4.0. Working hard and working smart. 4.0. I also think none of us could have foresaw that there would be a pandemic and realized maybe how that fit in. I think it's been a tremendous advantage to quarterbacks in the league. I have droned on and on and on about that. The tremendous advantage that it is to be in a quiet stadium. And Neil Lomax came on the show and had great thoughts about it. And then, you know, I noticed it on an NFL weekend before that. I talked about it. He talked about it. Others have talked about it. I just think it's a tremendous advantage, especially for a young quarterback coming into the league. Do not wave that off. I think it's a huge advantage that Justin Herbert has been able to be in relatively quiet stadiums, playing against really good teams, some good opposition, the Chiefs, the Patriots, and others. Those are D coordinators and defensive players that have, you know, Super Bowl rings, that Justin Herbert's been able to perform against them while hearing the safeties communicate with each other and looking up and hearing people yell stuff from the sideline and being able to call an audible, for crying out loud. Good stuff. We'll talk to Greg Biggins, recruiting expert from 24/7 Sports, coming up in the next hour. Plus, I've got great sound from all around. You're listening to the Bald Faced Truth. Leave it right here.
BFFT. Live from the home studios, presented by High Caliber Millwrights. Here's John Canzano with the Bald Faced Truth.
In the books. Man, that just blows by. This week has flown by. We've had great guests this week. Lively discussion this week. Next week will be lively as well. We'll have some Pac-12 coaches on the show. We'll have Merton Hanks of the Pac-12 Conference on the show. President at Oregon State, F. King Alexander, will be on the show on Monday. He caused a stir when he did an interview with Nick Daschle of the Oregonian a few months ago. He called out LSU fans. He does not like LSU fans. How about Mario Cristobal's comments about Justin Herbert's impressive start in the NFL. Let's get those guys in the octagon. Who are those people? Criticized Herbert before the draft. I remember asking Mario Cristobal, there was some criticism of Penei Sewell right around the time that he won the Outland Trophy. There were some who were wondering, like, all right, who had he lined up against that was playing in the NFL? And I asked Cristobal, you know, what do you say to those people? And he was like, who are those people? Like, put a name on them. And I love that because, you know, a lot of people say, well, who are those people? Punch It Audio, it is the best sound from all around. We do it every day.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth Headquarters.
Hey, we're all about truth, justice, and the American way here, okay? Which is why we've spanned the globe and pulled the top audio cuts of the day.
You're going to hear little snippets of sound.
Hey, it's time for Punch It Audio.
Presented by First Call Heating and Cooling.
Well, the Houston Astros made no friends in the offseason by the way that they did not apologize or own, essentially stealing signs and stealing a World Series. They're making fewer friends in Game 5, facing possible elimination, Carlos Correa. Punch it.
If Carlos Correa hits one out of here, you may see the...
It might hit us up
the
here.
World's longest bat flip. One ball, one strike. In the air, center field, Correa's watching, this is back, and it's gone! It's a walk-off home run! Carlos Correa! Astros win! Carlos Correa has just forced a Game 6 in this ALCS. What a moment!
Carlos Correa with the walk-off home run, it makes me mad. Not because I don't want the Astros to win, but these guys are good without cheating. You didn't need it. Astros win the game. They force a Game 6. Rays still lead the series. 3-2 in the American League Championship Series. Meanwhile, in the other bracket, Atlanta Braves and Dodgers punch it.
Bring in Ozuna. Here's the guy the Braves got to get going. He is monster year this year. That is a blast! Way out of here. This ball game is tied. And a couple of stops along the way around the bases for Marcelo Ozuna. He said they had to get him going. That thing got out of here in a blink.
Ozuna with the home run. Braves win game 4, 10-2. They take a 3-1 series lead in their best of 7 series. Game 5 of that series tonight, first pitch, 6:08. Dodgers on the ropes. Adrian Wojnarowski talking about the Clippers and the hiring of Ty Lue as their next head coach. Punch it.
You know, when they let Doc Rivers go, Steve Ballmer wanted to conduct a search. He wanted to go out and talk to other candidates, and they did that. They talked to probably close to 10 to 12 candidates around the league, maybe even more, and were serious about a couple. But they knew what they had in Ty Lue, and everybody was chasing him, and there was nothing in the process that dissuaded the Clippers from thinking that they had the right guy right there for them.
The narrative here is interesting because it's player driven all the way, and a lot of the decisions in the NBA are player driven. But the narrative now becomes Kawhi Leonard not wanting to be on the court so much with Paul George. They want to be staggered. So it's going to be incumbent upon Ty Lue to play more players, to play some younger players, and to find a way to maximize Paul George and Kawhi Leonard sharing the court and not sharing the court at other times. It's interesting. Will it work? Well, if it doesn't work, the Clippers are going to look like the same old Clippers. Ballmer and the Clippers have made a tremendous investment, not just in Kawhi Leonard, but in Paul George, giving up a lot to get him. Now they've shifted, flushing Doc Rivers for Ty Lue. Say what you will about the Clippers, but they're relevant. People will be watching, and they're interesting right now. Dak Prescott has a message for fans. Horrific injury. Had a surgery, says he's doing well. Here he is, punching.
What's up, everyone? Just want everyone to know that I'm doing well. And I can't thank you enough for all your love, your support, your prayers. Over the last few days, they've been more than overwhelming. From teammates to family to friends to fans I don't know to former and current players around the league and players around all sports. I just wanted to say thank you. They're definitely appreciated and received well. So just knowing that I have that much love and support out there makes a huge difference. In great spirits, headed to see the doctor, headed to see my leg for the first time post-surgery. So just ready to start this road to comeback. I know this little adversity is just going to be another chapter in the book. I'm excited to move forward and write it. Just once again, can't thank you all enough for your love and your support through it all.
Prescott will be sidelined 4 to 6 months. And make no mistake, the negotiation of a contract extension for him will include this injury. It will be a factor. The Cowboys are going to try to get a long-term deal in place that is more favorable to them. Prescott's going to have to decide whether or not he wants to bet on himself or face a comeback after 4 to 6 months off that will be a gamble in himself. I mean, there's going to just be a whole bunch of speculation about whether or not the Cowboys should invest in a guy who's not likely to be 100% for some time. And Dak Prescott's going to have to decide, you know, how much do you believe in yourself? David Pollock talking about Alabama. Nick Saban's absence. Alabama's at Georgia. Here's Pollock. Punch it.
Well, Saban's not a caretaker. Like, he's not a guy that's just the rah-rah guy and doesn't have his hands in on everything. Everything runs through Nick. Like, everything. And talking to, like, I talked to a coach who was at Alabama. One of the things that was surprising, the coin toss is directed by him. Which way they're going to kick, warm-ups, like everything that goes on, injured players, everything goes through Nick Saban. So this will definitely be different. And I think just from a presence standpoint, how many times have we seen Nick chew guys out on the sidelines, chew coaches out on the sidelines and bring energy and not take certain things? And the guys are always, you're always looking over like, oh God, like dad's mad at me. Like I got to make sure I step up my game. So I think this is huge.
It is big, and here's the other thing that's going on in the background of this game. There's some speculation that Nick Saban will show up and be on the sideline. Desmond Howard tweeted that out. I'd be surprised if that happens, but he tweeted it, so now we got to watch for it. I also think the loser of this game is still very much in the playoff picture. Probably going to have a rematch, and I think it's possible that they could split these games. I think it's possible that one team could win both of them, and if it's close enough that both teams could get into the playoff, I think Alabama and Georgia are still very much both alive and in this playoff discussion. It's not right. It's not fair. It's not just. But you know the SEC. I know the SEC. And we know the College Football Playoff Selection Committee is going to consider more than one SEC team as worthy of being in the playoff. I asked Mario Cristobal, Oregon Ducks football coach, about Justin Herbert's impressive start in the NFL. Here's Cristobal punching.
Off the charts. It's exactly like expected. I mean, he's got he's slinging it around really well. He understands the protections. I mean, he's taken some monster hits and he pops back up and keeps going. He's done well under pressure. Just, you know, it's nothing that I think everyone around here didn't know. Everyone kept saying it, you know, that this guy, we feel he's the best in the country. And I think as a rookie, he's proven that he's the best in the NFL as a rookie.
By the way, who are those people who are questioning him? Quarterback battle in camp at Oregon. Here's Mario Cristobal talking about his QBs. Punch it.
Well, it's too early to say, but, I mean, we're not going to change our tune. You know, right now Tyler's going with the ones because that's how we ended spring, and that's what he's earned so far. And Anthony is doing an awesome job, and they're competing, so we're going to let this thing play out and let those guys compete, just like the O-line is competing and the defensive line and the DBs. It shouldn't be different for them. I think when you do that, I think when you do that, you know what you're doing? You're messing with the culture. You're not upholding the standards of the culture. When you do that, you screw up an entire organization. So we're going to stick to our guns, and we're going to do it the right way.
Tyler Shuck, Anthony Brown. I think there's a good reason to believe that Shuck is your starter based on Mario Cristobal's comments on this show. But I also think the transfer from Boston College, who will likely be Herbert's backup, is going to get on the field at different points. I think Oregon offensively under Joe Moorhead is going to be far more dynamic than they were under Marcus Arroyo.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.